It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Bruce Westerman, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Arkansas. It's great to see you.
Great to be with you, Tony. And, you know, when you talk about agriculture and rural America, you're talking about the 4th District of Arkansas. There's 75 counties in Arkansas, 4 members of Congress, but 33 counties are in my district. So that tells you there's a lot of land, a lot of trees, a lot of farmland, and not a whole lot of people.
So how are things back home in the district right now? Dry, wet, perfect?
We had a good rainfall in the spring. It's starting to dry out now, but actually had some storms back home this morning. And compared to the end of last summer, from a drought standpoint, we're in good shape, but that could all change. You know, I think we went from August to October without much rainfall at all last year, and it got really tough. You know, creek beds with no water in them, cow pastures that look like dust bowls, people having to feed hay early. You know, all those, from my FFA days, those joys and discomforts of agricultural life that we've come to appreciate. We were seeing those discomforts firsthand last summer. Hopefully it won't be that bad this summer.
You're really describing natural resources. It's really what you're describing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're on that committee. That's kind of apropos, I guess.
Yeah, actually the chairman of that committee, it's one I've been on since I've been in Congress, and you know, I have a great appreciation for our rural way of life, a great appreciation for our resources. I say I'm a conservative in the truest sense of a conservative. The word conservation is derived from conservative, and I wish I could take credit for this, but a philosopher said a conservative is someone who believes in unchosen obligations. So if I look at the blessings we experience in this country today, and I look at the sacrifices, the form of government that was given to us, as I look back in history, I feel like I've got an unchosen obligation to conserve those principles of our founding. But also as I look forward to the future and I think about my kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids that haven't been born yet, I've got an unchosen obligation to make sure that they have the same opportunities, that we take care of our resources, that we're good stewards of them, and that you know, future generations have the same opportunities we had. So, you know, looking forward and looking back, I'm proud to be a conservative that believes in conservation. I've always said that rural people, sportsmen and women, are the ultra-conservationists. They understand that you take care of the land and the land takes care of us. So I let that guide a lot of my decisions as chairman of the committee. I'm the only licensed forester in Congress, and so there's a lot of ways that forestry benefits our country that people don't even realize. You know, about two-thirds of our drinking water in America comes off of forested lands. So we've got an obligation to take care of these resources that we've got, use them, get the benefit out of them, and make sure that we're good stewards for the future.
Could we look at some of the areas that have experienced just horrific wildfire? I know there's a place in New Mexico where the fire burnt 6 years ago, and it burned so hot that the soil is gone. The trees are gone. Nothing's there. And when it rains, you now have mudslides. Are those things that we can fix? Can Congress have a hand in that?
So, Tony, unfortunately, there are so many of those places. I don't know which specific one you're talking about, but I've been to the Lincoln National Forest and observed something very, very amazing there. Same landscape, same climate, same forest and tree species. You've got the Muscalero Apache tribe that is textbook forest management. Beautiful forest out there. Ponderosa pine. It's got your savanna understory in it. Great elk hunting. Just beautiful habitat. You go up the road a few miles and you're in the Lincoln National Forest, which it had one of those fires. And I don't remember how many years ago, but it's like a moonscape. The fire burned so hot that it burned the organic matter out of the soil, and they can't get trees to grow back on it. Everything the same, except you had the Forest Service managing one tract of land, and you had the Muscalero Apache managing another tract. And that's why we just passed out a committee this morning a bill to do good neighbor authority, which says tribes and counties, in addition to state forest management agencies, can go in and manage timber on federal lands. They know how to do it. They're able to do it. So let's give them the authority to go in and make these good management decisions. But you can, that story I told about New Mexico, it's been replicated other times in New Mexico. You can go to California, Arizona, go to Washington State. You'll see over and over where you've got severe damage to the soil because of mismanagement of forest. And people don't always make that link between water and forestry. Now, Teddy Roosevelt called trees the lungs of the earth. They breathe in carbon dioxide. They breathe out oxygen, which they are. There's nothing we can use to clean the air, to get carbon out of the atmosphere as efficient and as effectively and as large scale and economically as a forest. Forests also are as critical to water as they are to air. You talked about these as, I'll use Roosevelt's terms, a denuded landscape. You take this barren landscape, you get rain on it, you get mudslides, your topsoil, what's left of it, ends up in the streams, which decreases water quality, damages fish habitat. You know, when you do good forest management, if there's a stream, you leave something called the streamside management zone. A wildfire doesn't leave streamside management zones. It burns right to the edge of the stream. That shade over a stream helps keep water cool for certain fish species. You take that shade away, the water temperature increases. There's just so many wins to having healthy managed forest. You win with air quality, you win with water quality, you win with wildlife habitat, you win with recreation opportunities. And the list goes on. There's no downside to having a healthy forest. We just have to help our forest be healthy instead of getting in the way and making them unhealthy.
Appreciate you taking the time to come by. I know your schedule is so busy right now, but thanks for your time. Will you come back and see us?
We'd love to. We didn't even talk about biochar and how that can help with agriculture in the future. Biochar is almost pure carbon. We could take this understory in the western forest that's fueling the catastrophic wildfires, make a usable product out of it, put it on agriculture and rangeland and even back on forest land, and it makes your soil more productive, holds more water, retains more nutrients, makes them available for plant uptake, and also makes your forest healthy. So there's so many natural solutions to the problems we face today. We just have to have the will in Congress to push that policy forward, to let the innovators innovate, and let this great country thrive.
In other words, there'll be another episode of this, so come back and see us, will
Anytime.
You?
Anytime. Thank you, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable Bruce Westerman, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Arkansas and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.